dinner with.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, because we don't edit this, Ivan's here.
Morning, boss.
Thank you. Because we don't edit this, Don has rung in. No one would know what order we do these things, but Don has rung in and says there's been an accident on the freeway, and he's coming in shortly. And Ian Cook is here with us now because we're starting this because he has an important engagement to go to, but we wanted to get an update on where we are, Ian. And so you just, I'm not sure what question to ask you, but what I do want to ask you, I do know what I want to ask you, is has anyone reached out to you at all from any circles, whether it be government or authorities or legal, and said, we are pretty sorry about what's happened to your business and how you were rorted out of things illegally, and we might investigate it a little further, or is that just bit in the dust?
Well, we still have our legal action on the trot. We don't have a court date. We have a date next year for a mediation. No one from government, no one from any of the responsible authorities has reached out at all, no.
So you're here. Tell us where we are with the electorate and the campaign and the counting and the votes and the preferences, and just give us an update.
Well, after our scrutineers came back...
Scrutineers
yep. On the night came back and started telling us of the things they'd seen. So there were, you know, votes ending up in bins. They had votes...
votes ending up in bins.
Yeah. They lost some votes and then they found them. Someone had put them in the bin. And you just think, really? And then on top of that, we have a situation where... scrutineers weren't allowed to check the serial numbers on the seals and the serial numbers on the boxes. We had scrutineers turned up for counting and the ballots had already been taken out and nobody had checked the serial numbers and were deposited on tables. Votes were left unattended. So there were a lot of things that just shouldn't have happened, all right?
So Ian, this is what they say about... Trump, I hate to say this. Well, no, don't hate to say it because I watched this pretty carefully. Trump has said all these things about the last election and you think, oh, well, his opponents say, oh, he's whinging and he's a bad loser and all that and he's an election denier. And it exactly happens all around. It's exactly happened here as well because the incumbent party just... are so fearful that they might get ousted by the democratic process that they do everything to shore up the illegality of the election result. And if you say it's happened over there and you say it's happening in here, it's happening.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying anything. Like,
I'm saying it.
Okay, you're saying it. What I'm saying is there are a whole lot of questions that were asked. Now, by the way, the statutory declarations, affidavits, whatever you want to call them, that have been given to us by scrutineers. So that was our scrutineers, people that were obviously on, if anything, would have a bias our way because but they are there to watch. The whole purpose of scrutineering is so that everyone can have faith in the electoral process. At least we still have paper ballots, which makes it a lot more difficult in Australia to do the things Trump's talking about in America. They have an electronic system. What we're saying is...
They have paper ballots, mate. They have postal vote. They have mail-in votes and they harvest them. And they don't have
dead people voting too, don't they?
They don't have any... you don't have to identify yourself. It is a rort. And the more he goes on about it, the more they malign him. But he is absolutely spot on. And Elon Musk has found out now, because he's taken over Twitter, Ian... that the collusion between the social media platforms Facebook and Google have actually combined with the Democratic Party over there to rot the election.
Yeah, that's not very good.
Anyhow, go ahead, sorry.
So, no, well, from our point of view, we're saying, and my own, is that we have to have faith in the electoral process. So you have to have the checks and balances in place. That's why you have scrutineers. Some of the statements and some of the things I'm telling you have come from scrutineers who have come to us from other candidates, and they had their own scrutineers at certain booths. Now, we're not saying anything. What we're saying to the Electoral Commission is twofold. One, we believe because of the way preferences were allocated on the night, and that the and that was done wrong
because they thought the second highest vote getter was going to be the Liberals, but it was correct, you.
But it was me. Now, nobody has let us be part of that recount, and that has to be recounted.
Because is that something screwy going on, or is that just the fault of the Electoral Commission and how disorganised they are?
Yes, it doesn't matter. It depends on which side you're on. Mm. Different people are going to have different views. But the bottom line is they got it wrong. When they got it wrong, they should have recounted all the votes, and they should have then said, okay, Ian, if you'd like to send your scrutineers to such and such a place, we'll do it now.
So why didn't they do that, mate?
Well, we've asked, we've written to them, and nothing has happened.
You've written to who? The Electoral
Commission? The Electoral Commission, yeah. I get as frustrated as anyone about it. By the way, they haven't finished counting all the votes either. Now, Andrews is on about 50... yesterday I was told he apparently was on 50.8% of the vote. So 0.8% of a margin is not a lot. And we also have a lot of my scrutineers told me that preferencing should be done because people want to know what the actual result was.
No, it's okay. I thought something was wrong with the machine. As long as it's your phone.
Yeah. So people want to know what the actual result is. The other thing we've been told is that if the primary vote for Andrews is like 50.8 and stays there, they're not going to allocate preferences. So no one will know exactly who fell where. Now, we have a compulsory preferential voting system here in Australia.
Yep.
You can't just stop at 50.8% and say, that's it, no more counting and no more allocating preferences just because one candidate's gone, you know, more than 50%. I understand that he will win with that. That's not the argument. The argument is everybody voted and everybody's vote has to count. And if your vote isn't preference and isn't put where you wanted it to go and you don't get to see that, then you're going to be very disappointed and feel like your vote didn't matter. Well, they all matter, and that's what we have to get to. So all the preferencing should be done. People of the seat of Mulgrave should know who fell where. It's nothing to do with sour grapes. It's nothing to do with bad losers. It's nothing to do with any of that. It's just a simple proposition. A preferential voting system tells you where you landed and where your candidate landed after preferences were allocated. It's as simple as that.
So where are we? It doesn't pass the smell test. It doesn't pass the sniff test. This, and if you want justice not only to be done but be seen to be done, why doesn't someone oversee this and say, no, we're going to do this so that people have a confidence in the democratic process? And yeah, that's exactly what's happening over on the other side of the world. I hate to keep saying it.
No, that's right.
But look, it's all public knowledge.
You're obviously more intimate with what's happening in America than I am, and I must admit I have been distracted in the last 3 months with what we were doing. So I didn't follow the midterms, etc., that you're talking about. But I agree. Wherever you have a democracy, you have to then have... it has to be open. The integrity of the system has to be there. The checks and balances, wherever you are, have to be entrenched. And
so you come on here and you say this, and we're happy every week for you to come on because we started this 3 years ago and we're right behind you. Why doesn't the mainstream media or anyone say that? Why don't they just put up this argument that say, for God's sake, can't do what you're saying? Why don't they do that?
Yes, I think they should. I agree. I don't understand why they don't. It's it is fundamental to the whole democracy and the way we live that everything should be done open and transparent. They all use these words, but then when you actually drill down, It's not there. Now, if you've got nothing to hide, just do it.
So just the traffic has cleared and Don rang in and said that there was an accident. He has now just arrived in his, I call that a car, I'm not sure what it is, it's a tray on the back of some wheels. So he has arrived, Don, so welcome. We had to start because Ian has to get to an important engagement. So I'm just acknowledging you're here. All right.
Good morning, Don.
Don's, he's got the... Right. You're going to say something? No.
No, he's giving us the thumbs up.
All right. Now, Ian, you, yourself. You've been through the mill, mate, for more years than we care to remember, but certainly the last 3 or 4 years have taken a toll on you personally. How are you travelling? You had a very good showing in this electorate of Mulgrave against the incumbent. And you're probably not going to get into Parliament or win, but this is still another trauma that's going on in your life. How are you handling things and where are you as we speak?
I'm fine. All we wanted to do initially was to shine a light on the corrupt activities of this government. And that hasn't gone away. And that's what... And everyone has to... We all have to keep struggling. I mean, I fear for Victoria. I really do now, because apart from debt levels and everything else, where you have no separation of powers between police, judiciary, and the government, then you have a big problem. And it's not just an Ian Cook and his employees problem in terms of what happened with Sluggate 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago now. It's what's going to happen if you have a premier who is so powerful that he can get police to do what he wants and he can get the judiciary to do and to fall into line with what he wants and where he wants to go. That's a serious issue for everybody in the community. Because you, even if you're a Dan fan, tomorrow it might be you. You fall foul of this man and anything can happen.
Yeah, but it's not only here... Just listening, coming in today, it's even at local government level about how they're going around issuing parking fines out in Burundara. You know, if you don't take them on, and you can take them on through the court process, and it gets thrown out. It's revenue raising. It's not happening at state level. It's happening also at local government level too. It's right through the whole system in Victoria.
But Don, what do you mean? I'm genuine question. What do you mean by it's happening with parking fines? They're issuing them illegally.
They issue parking fines. I was just listening to the talkback radio coming in Burundara. Now, a lot of people are irate. They take it to court and it's thrown out in 60 seconds because these parking fines have been issued as revenue raising. A form of corruption.
No, Don, I'm with you, but are you saying that these people are saying that they're being given parking fines because they don't go over the limit or they're not parking in no parking areas, they're just being issued illegally, or what are you saying?
Well, that's what they're saying because they're thrown out in 60 seconds.
Okay, well, let's
but
have a look.
But even local governments are wrought. I mean, even the municipality I live in, what's done down there and the exposure, the expense... expenditure is just astronomical.
Yeah, I don't think people realise some of the things that are out there. Now, while I didn't hear what you heard about parking fines this morning, Don, but if you go back to the Food Act, so the Food Act has a clause written into it, and I understand it's the only act of Parliament that does this, where any fine or court, that whether it's a court-imposed fine or an infringement notice issued by the council to any food premises in Victoria... the revenue from that fine goes directly to the council. Even the police don't get that. Even the police, when they issue you a speeding fine, that then goes to consolidated revenue, but not under the Food Act. So the local councils get that revenue. So if you put that in perspective, that's a bit like saying to a policeman, tell you what, all the fines you write today, you get to keep. How many fines you reckon he'd write? So you're right, that was corruption written into an act, and that was done by the then Health Minister, Daniel Andrews, in 2009. And it's been sitting there. I'm told in one case, the City of Melbourne spent something like $200,000 in legals to overturn a magistrate's decision to send a $5,000 fine to the poor box, not to the council. And that was such a dangerous precedent for them balancing their books that they took it on and had it overturned. And it got overturned because the statute is clear. So you've written into the statute, you know what, guys, you might have rate capping, but there's lots of other ways you can go out and generate revenue. That is quite wrong. Those things should be changed.
I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. They spent $50,000 in Mornington Shire to count koalas, the population of koalas in Mornington, $50,000.
So Credlin did a story on the corruption of the state government, and you were linked in the story. Channel 9 did under investigation about your story entirely, about how the dishonesty and the corruption to get you out of... Surely, how does that not gain some oxygen by continuing, or is that just a program that's put to air, now it's just gathering dust on the back shelves? Surely that is dis... I can't understand how that has not... Someone has to be accountable for the absolute dishonesty of planting the slug of the dishonesty and lying of all the witnesses. Extraordinary.
It's a great thing in psychology. He is just there. All these things are being thrown at the government. Realises. But if you just keep batting them back, eventually they're going to give up, aren't they?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, people talk about the media cycle being, you know, really quick and people's memories forgetting, etc. I'm not sure about that. And the reason I'm not sure about that is that, you know, some 13 weeks ago I decided to stand as an independent in the seat of Mulgrave. And I was thinking, you know, I'd had support from you guys telling our story, support across the media. And even still, you say to yourself, so how many people in that little geographic area would actually know about the story? Well, as it turns out, in first preference votes, we got 20%. So, you know, there's 10,000 people or about that in just in that geographic area. And I can't tell you the number of people who turned up who knew across all age groups, who knew the story, knew what was going on, and knew me by name as they came up and wished me well.
But still, it's a small percentage really, isn't it?
Well, it's a small percentage in your location. But just remember, this is a national topic. Ben up there in Sydney is canvassed on his radio program. You're on 3AW, as Sam said, under investigation program, the 6 p.m. nightly news. So the media saturation was out there and in most states too.
So but why wouldn't the Liberals? Why wouldn't the Liberals?
Because they're hopeless, Johnny.
No, John, why wouldn't the Liberals say, if you want to see an assault on free enterprise system, which we actually uphold, we're not socialists, and we're... Why wouldn't they take up this and say, if you want a prime example of how people are being rorted in business, the small business person is being rorted, have a look at the iCook Foods saga. Why wouldn't they take that up on you? You would think that would do them, the Liberals, some good.
Yeah, look, I agree.
We couldn't get Matthew Guy to come on here.
Yeah, but hang on. We had Georgie Crozier come in exactly on this case. Now, she appeared on one, review or commission or something the government held into it. But, you know, they only got 90 seconds or something to put their case forward. She didn't even take it up. Didn't go any further with it.
I know. Look, to be fair to Georgie Crozier, she has. She has been...
She certainly hasn't got publicity or recognition.
I don't think that's...
parliamentary proceedings. Why wouldn't Matthew Guy stand up on the stump and say, I'll tell you what is disgraceful, just out when he's electioneering, just bring this up as a point in case about free enterprise.
Yeah. No. And we said it all the way through the election, is that corruption was the main plank. And it's not just the corruption as in what happened to iCook Foods and Ian
Cook.
You
said that, but he didn't.
No, I agree with you, Sam. I think the Liberals should have been much more strident in the comments that they should have made around corruption. Because it is. Like, iCook Foods is only one symptom. You know, red shirts started it all. The lying of Daniel Andrews to...
the five IBAC investigations going on, the cancelling of the free one, the whole thing, the whole thing is a rot.
The kid on the bike.
The COVID stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
The 800 deaths in here when every other state had five or six, a handful, because Sam, he put in the wrong people... he put in the wrong people to oversee the vaccine and the process where you... quarantine process. I mean, the whole thing is a rort. Corrupt.
He said that the kid on the bike was speeding and T-boned his car. The Herald Sun released photos that clearly show the child was hit from the front, bounced into the windscreen. Now, how any father could stand there and be so lacking in humanity that all he saw was a political problem, and he fixed that first.
Yeah, but hang on, he got $80,000. Now, you know, there's human nature comes into this, and... You know, the victim, unfortunately, received $80,000, and you could say that he was...
hush money, Don.
Well, yes, but there's got to be a bit of a principle here, doesn't there? You know, you either take the money or you stand up and you...
The boy, let's put that in perspective, Von. The kid was, what, 15, 16?
But he had a parent.
No, that's the point. The reason that document's going to fall over, the hush money document, is because they approached the kid. They got a 15-year-old to sign a non-disclosure agreement.
But he's got a parent.
Yeah, had to. My understanding from what the Herald Sun wrote, they didn't. The parents...
Wasn't present.
Yeah.
I don't think that's... He's a minor.
Correct. And you can't, you know...
That's what he's saying.
The other thing, too, is put that aside. Okay, so the kid got 80,000. He lost 90% of his spleen. Anyone else would have got 500,000 or a million.
You read the story from the nurse who was, attending the boy. I think she was a former nurse. You know, it's just horrific.
It is horrific.
Now, you know about that, if you're in the local community down there, the CFA boys talk, and you know, this has been going on for a couple of years. It has just come to light now.
Absolutely. Why? Because Andrews thought he was safe. He didn't think that these photos would ever see the light of day. Somehow the Herald Sun got a hold of these photos and they've brought them out and they've said, hey, here's this. Remember, Daniel Andrews and his wife told everybody in a press conference the kid was speeding and T-boned their car. That was a blatant lie. There was you heard from Paul Brady when he was here that time. All of the procedures that should have gone through, none of them happened. That's what we're talking about. This is the level of deceit and corruption in Victoria.
And then there was the falling down the stairs saga, which we mentioned last week. We got a bit of a different perspective on that story, which I couldn't... expand on for obvious reasons.
Oh, no, hey, whoa.
Well, I said I couldn't expand on for obvious reasons.
But don't you think it also comes down to the opposition? The opposition's pretty hopeless and they're really not in contact with what is actually happening on the ground in the electorates.
Yeah, no, I agree.
They're completely out of touch, whereas you've got this Labor government now offering the money these workers are getting paid on government jobs and everything else. You know, they've got them in their in their pocket and so...
Well, I think at the end of the day, a strong opposition is what we need because that's what keeps a healthy democracy. And they've been belted again. Hopefully, getting a new leader and some renewal.
Mate, if you have a look at the four people they put up, the Libs, I wouldn't go to war with them.
Right.
They're not even...
You must say, though, at the end of the day, you've done an outstanding job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, you have, Ian. And where so finally now? Where is it headed? Where are you headed with all this?
Well, we're still awaiting the final result because that still hasn't come through. Yeah. Hopefully.
And when they say no, we're not. When they say we're investigating it and we're going to, you say good. And if they say no, it's all over. And then what does Ian Cook do?
Oh, look. We've done what we wanted to do.
You into politics now?
No.
Well, you've got a court case. Well, you know, I thought it was going to bear fruit in March of this year. March just gone.
No.
When is it going to come to light again?
Well, there is no court date at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
hang on. We've had you on for a couple of years. You said it was going to be March of this year.
And you've
got no idea when it's going to come to light now.
Welcome to the justice system, we call
it
in Victoria.
Well, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Don. When you consider the evidence we have, when you know everything that's happened, you would think that... And And I've been told by senior barristers that the name of the game here is either you destroy Ian Cook and his people emotionally so that the family gets to a point where they say, all right, we've had enough, yep, we'll just walk away, or you send them broke. And they're doing both.
So where's Bobby Richter?
Robert's great, but Robert's skills are in the courtroom as a cross-examiner.
So you've got to get there first.
You've got to get there first.
So could I say something? So you take it to court, you'll get knocked over in court. So what do? Then go to the Supreme Court?
No,
we'll appeal it again?
So we're in the Supreme Court at the moment.
Okay, so can you then appeal that? Where do you go to from there?
Yeah, so the way it works in Australia is, from what I'm told, is Supreme Court.
High Court?
If you lose the Supreme Court, you appeal. But you have to appeal to the appeals court here in Victoria, which is part of the Supreme Court.
And
you
then
do that, you lose that, and you've got, and assuming you get right to appeal, then you go to the High Court.
And can I say these judges are appointed by the government?
Oh, the last 20 years, yeah.
Yes, the government in control of that particular state or country at that stage.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. So
shit.
But that's the same for every state.
Where
you have one political power, one political party in power for a long period of time, then things like the police and judiciary, they become stacked with people who are sympathetic to that side of politics.
Okay.
We really, as Victorians, we should be looking at changing that as a way where you get both houses of parliament with absolute, very high majorities selecting these people so that one side of politics or the other doesn't.
Can I just say, and I'll pay you a compliment, you're sitting here now, I watched you being interviewed many times up to the election. I joined the Victoria Party because it was made up of predominantly businessmen, small business people.
Women too.
You were the only one of the candidates that talked sense in the whole election. At least you were worldly. The politicians put up by either side are not worldly. They're very insular. You've experienced life in many facets because you're in business. And we need people of a similar ilk running the country. You've got a little bit of experience in different areas instead of coming through the system, never standing on their own two feet. And you were the only one who made sense whole election. Not because you're sitting here.
No. Shit, no. Well done, Don. I'm glad the traffic cleared so you could come and say that, because you're spot on, Don. I'm giving you a compliment. I'm giving you a compliment, Don. Ian.
Thank you to both of you.
Ian.
And Don.
Ian, thank you. Keep coming in as often. We would love you to come in and tell us an update, Don. We're going to Ann Ivan. We're going to have this as a standalone segment because we've been going for nearly half an hour, and then we can have a chat to you before we start the next part as to what's going on in your pissy life. So Ian Cook from iCook Foods, the saga continues, and thank you very much for coming in.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Here we
Good
go.
On you, mate.